for 25 years. Nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With seven drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent four-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
It's Friday, and you know what that means. Takes on Takes here on the Prospects and Props podcast. Chris Schubert, Jamie Eisner here with you. We're taking a quick little 60-second timeout from the prop series that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, and we have a Takes on Takes episode for you here today on the show. And boy,
more like a 20-minute timeout.
You don't know. I mean, it could be 35 minutes. There's a lot of takes this week. The listeners
just said 60 seconds, and I was like, I feel like we need to take more than a minute on this podcast.
It doesn't really do well from a monetization standpoint if the podcast is like under 5 minutes. You got to have it be at least 25. We've got a lot of takes to get into today. And when I say that we have takes that go all over the spectrum, there are debates on the worst days for holidays, the types of tacos, quarterback tier lists. Like, we've got it all here on the show today. We'll start with a take. And I'm going to go in chronological order via the TD and Premium Discord. So we'll have some double takes from some people, but they're just going to go in order in which they were submitted to us. Take from Alex. Take with how both leagues have evolved. Being on 40-40 watch is more impressive than being on 50 TD watch. So this is a baseball football crossover.
Interesting.
So 40-40 watch is now more impressive than 50 TDs. And for those who are listening to this and who are strictly football fans, 40-40 is 40 home runs and 40 stolen bases.
40 steals. When's the last time we had a 40-40 guy?
Oh, Ronald Acuna flirted with it a little bit ago.
I feel like Acuna's flirted
Acuna
with it.
Jr. Michael Jeremy Trout, did he?
He probably did.
His middle name is Nelson, by the way, just for those of you keeping track at home.
I feel like he had to have done so. Has anybody done this in Soriano?
Okay, we're getting into a rabbit hole here. Hold on. So the closest Trout ever got was in 2012. He had 30 home runs and 49 steals. He hasn't gotten close to 40 steals since. And he only has three 40 home run seasons. Ronald Acuna Jr., let's look at this. This season has 41 steals already, and he has 21 homers. So he's close, but 19 homers in the second half is not going to be an easy feat.
It's doable.
In 2019, he had 41 homers and 37 steals. So he might be the closest that we've seen. You want me to look up Alfonso?
I know Soriano did it with the Nats. He almost did it with Soriano. The Yankees. But
also, speaking of this, this is kind of what Takes on Takes is for. And I know I've introduced this to you. It's been my favorite thing to do every day, to do the Immaculate Grid in baseball. And I know there's kind of one for football. I'm just not good at it. The baseball one's very, very enjoyable. Alfonso Soriano.
I know Soriano, A-Rod.
He did it in 2006, 46 home runs and 40 stolen bases. Overall, Jamie, I think I agree with this take that in today's NFL, with the passing game being so efficient and being probably the best we've seen and the quarterback play overall being the best we've seen, I don't know if a 50-touchdown season in football is as rare as a 40-40 season will be in baseball.
Well, and I think that was going to be my overall point, was I'm not sure at any point in history I wouldn't have taken the 40-40. Like I know like obviously I guess you go back like where NFL wasn't have, didn't have a forward pass, throwing 50 touchdowns would have been incredible. But like
impossible, yeah.
But in like the modern era, and not that 50 touchdowns is easy, but like
no. But it's I think it's
really like four players have done the 40-40, right? Ever?
That we've
Soriano, A-Rod, Bonds, and Canseco. Am I missing anybody?
40-40 MLB. I'm gonna look it up. The 40-40 club, okay, according to Wikipedia.
And how many players have thrown for 50 touchdowns?
It's four players.
The 50 touchdowns.
It's exactly the four you mentioned. Jose Canseco, yeah. Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, and Alfonso Soriano. So it's happened. And I don't want to be this guy. But baseball has a better history than football. It's longer. It spans more years. It's got more players. Like, it's got all sorts of different things. Three times in pro football history has a player thrown for 50 touchdowns. Peyton Manning in 2013, Tom Brady in 2007, and Patrick Mahomes in 2018. So they're both equally as rare in terms of sheer numbers, but baseball, I think, has a longer history, and so the fact that it's only happened four times, I think, makes it a harder feat. And it's more than one statistic. It's two different skill sets. No offense to passing touchdowns, but passing touchdowns is one skill set. Throw the ball. In baseball, you've got to have power, which is a separate trait, from speed, which is a separate trait.
And I also think it's important to realize that, and again, it's tough when you cross sport because sports are so different.
Wow. What a take.
Breaking news there.
Thanks for that take here on a Friday.
But like baseball is the most individual team sport there is. And you, from an NFL quarterback perspective, you need somebody on the other end for to make that passing touchdown happen.
Mm-hmm.
You got no help. You're either hitting the ball, a home run.
Right.
Because we're not talking about RBIs or in run. No, it's all you.
All you.
A homer and a steal is all you.
Yep.
So I would still go with that.
Double
take. That's a good take.
Yeah, very good.
I would have guessed. I would have guessed we would have had four or five 50 touchdown guys.
It, just three.
But I forgot there are a few of the guys that like got 48, 49.
Yeah, Rodgers got to 48 2 years ago. Like there are guys that are
Manning
close.
Done it twice.
Manning got Manning to 49 in 2004. Dan Marino got to 48 in 1984. By the way,
the fact that Manning
shout out
didn't
to
get
Dan Marino. Throwing for 48 touchdowns in 1984.
I'm surprised Manning didn't do it with the Colts. I mean,
he got to 49.
So 2004 touchdown season was with Denver when he went nuts.
Yep. And then in 2004 he hit 49. We've got a double dose of take here from Taylor B. And I'm assuming based on when this take was submitted, it has to do with the 4th of July. Take Tuesday is the worst possible day for a holiday to fall on. Monday gives you a 3-day weekend. Wednesday splits the week up evenly, and Thursday just means you work one more day that week.
No,
I'm out on
so this.
This
is a bad
I'm out on this because so, Wednesday's the worst day for a holiday to fall.
Correct.
Because I don't need to gear down into a vacation or into a day off and then have to gear back up for two more work days on the other side of it.
Correct. And so I know everybody's jobs are different and a lot of people work from home now. So the extended 4-day holidays don't exist very often, but there are a number of jobs out there that if a holiday falls on a Tuesday or falls on a Thursday, you get either the Monday off with the Tuesday or the Friday off with the Thursday.
My dad had this.
If it falls on a Wednesday,
you're done. You're not getting
any. You don't get any extra days.
There you go. Take a nice midday week off.
You just got a siesta in the middle of the week.
That's dumb.
That's all you get.
I'd rather not have the day off at all. I'd rather work.
That's a bad take.
That's
a bad take.
I'd rather work.
No, getting paid to not work for a day was always fun in the midst. Because, Chris, we work weekends. We don't work a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like our weekend, that's the thing for us too. Like our weekend doesn't just, it's Friday. Oh, we'll see you all.
Yeah, it doesn't work for us.
9 a.m. doesn't quite work like that.
I think everyone listening to the show understands, but like I have people who are not super big time football fans that want to do something. And I'm like, guys, you have me on the weekends until like the end of next month. And then don't talk to me for five months. Like I'm not around.
Friday nights. That's what you got.
Yeah. Friday nights is when you have me.
And so Wednesday is objectively the worst day for a holiday to fall on.
The secondary.
Wednesday.
Wednesday's
the worst.
Wednesday, yeah. The secondary take from Taylor B appears to be a tattle take because he didn't really add a ton of context, but he posted a chart. Okay, go ahead.
I add a timeout? I used a timeout. Sure. I want to add, by the way, Chris, just breaking news for you right now. Happened. It happened yesterday, obviously, a Thursday.
Oh, did it happen? Is it over?
It did.
Let's go. Quinnen Williams, baby.
So I want your take on this contract in a second, but that's not why I used the timeout. But
okay.
I want to add an addendum to the last one. Then we're going to have you react to this, and then you can read your next one. But I will say this, though. Having a major holiday fall on a weekend that prevents you from getting the extra days off you otherwise normally would have gotten is a close runner-up to Wednesday being the worst day. But just wanted to get your reaction. This is the authentic reaction. This is obviously happened yesterday afternoon. This is coming out Friday morning. Yes. But 4-year, $96 million
Let's go. That's huge.
For Quinnen Williams. What is your take on this?
Other than Aaron Donald, I think he's the best player at that position. So the fact that he got this contract, 4 years, 96, I thought he was going to touch the $100 million mark. So the fact that he didn't is a huge win. He's 25 years old. Let's not forget this, everybody. He's still a young player in this league. He's one of the best players at his position. I think the Jets needed to take care of one of their homegrown players to help mold this defense. This is a win-win for everybody. I was not worried that it wasn't going to get done. Obviously, with as much time that has passed since the last time we had heard an update, you get a little concerned. But just fantastic all around. I couldn't be more than happy. Thrilled that Quinnen Williams is going to be a Jet for the next four seasons for $96 million. Happy. This take from Taylor B.
Yeah, 5 years ends up being 5 years, right? Because 4 years attached to this one. Yeah. So
perfect.
All right, back to the takes.
So Taylor B put a chart in there, and it was the NFL QB tiers for 2023, according to Will Brinson of CBS Sports.
Okay.
I will ask you how you'd like me to reveal these tiers. Do you want me to go from tier one down to tier seven, or do you want me to go from tier seven up to
tier
one?
Yeah, I think it'll be easier for me to process without seeing it if you go from the top to bottom.
The tier one, the tier one quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
I
agree with that.
Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Josh Allen are the tier one quarterbacks. That's it. Three quarterbacks in tier one.
Okay.
Tier two quarterbacks.
I'm having an internal debate about Josh Allen, but I'll leave it.
Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence.
I can't do that yet, but okay.
Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence is the one here that I would have the most problem with. He's not a tier two quarterback yet.
Yeah,
I get
like
it.
talk to me in a year.
Yeah, and then I think he's there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Tier three quarterbacks. You sitting down? Yes, you are, because I can see you sitting down.
I mean, clearly.
The tier three quarterbacks for 2023, Jamie.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
No problem with that. Matthew Stafford.
No.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Maybe.
Justin Fields.
Stop it.
Daniel Jones.
Okay. So far, what this is telling me is we need to put Rodgers in a different tier. That's what this is telling me.
Deshaun Watson.
Okay. Because I guess there's at least a confusion there. All right.
Russell Wilson.
Okay. This is just we need Rodgers in a different tier.
Yes. Flip Rodgers and Lawrence, and I think these tiers are a lot better, right? Like, I think.
Yeah.
Tier four quarterbacks, Jamie.
Okay.
Jared Goff.
Okay.
Dak Prescott. Geno Smith. No. Kirk Cousins.
Why is there so much? Like, look, the hate has gone too far on Dak Prescott.
I think Dak Prescott's a tier four quarterback. I'm totally fine with this.
Dak Prescott should be higher up than
he should be higher up than Justin Fields and Daniel Jones. I'll give you that. Correct. Like, yes.
Correct. I'm not saying he's a tier two, but I'm saying he is an above average starting.
I agree.
Let's stop with this.
Ryan Tannehill.
By the way, Kirk Cousins should be higher than this too. But
Derek Carr.
Should be higher than this.
Derek Carr should be higher
than
this.
Not as high as the other two, but should be higher than this.
Yeah, Derek Carr should be a tier three quarterback at worst. Jimmy Garoppolo in your tier four quarterbacks.
Sure.
Your tier five quarterback, Jamie.
Okay.
Mac Jones.
Okay.
Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Those are your tier five quarterbacks. Tier six. And this is where I take this entire list and I put it in a paper shredder. It goes in a paper shredder and it's never to be heard of again.
I'm trying to think, who am I missing here?
Kyler Murray is in tier six of quarterbacks.
Boy, you know, remember a year and a half ago when like everybody was trying to say that like Kyler Murray was like a top five quarterback in football?
Stop.
And like, how quickly we fall off this wagon.
Okay. Stop. He is better than almost every name that we talked about in the tier four and tier five bucket.
I want you to honestly answer this question. What does Justin Fields, how is Justin Fields better than Kyler Murray?
The answer is he's not. He's not. Right now, Kyler Murray is a better quarterback than Justin Fields.
Correct.
Kyler Murray is a better quarterback
when his knee is healthy. Right now, maybe fine. Justin Fields, because
I would take Kyler Murray over Tua.
I would too.
I would take Kyler Murray over Daniel Jones. No offense to Daniel Jones.
I mean, I don't think he's offended. I would as well.
I'm taking Kyler Murray over Geno Smith. I'm taking Kyler Murray over Ryan Tannehill. Correct. I'm taking Kyler Murray over Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, what are we doing here?
Yep. It's ridiculous.
In the tier with Kyler Murray, just to make it even more ridiculous, Sam Howell, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, Desmond Ridder. What are we doing here?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And then your tier 7 quarterbacks, I think these all make sense at the bottom. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson.
Sure. That's just your cop out of we're not ranking rookies.
And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But the Kyler Murray thing is ridiculous. And that's the thing that Taylor B says. He goes, we're reaching a point where Kyler might be underrated. Like, if you're going to put him as a
We have.
Like, it's ridiculous.
We have gone from where I thought Kyler was supremely overrated by people to now where he is supremely underrated. Honestly, we might get that might be the next Justin Fields curve in these next couple years. Where right now, Justin Fields is at the point where like everybody wants to make him an elite quarterback and he hasn't done shit. And when he has kind of a couple mediocre seasons or maybe gets hurt, then we're going to come back the other way where people are like, oh, this guy can't play at all. And then I'm like, oh no, here we go again. We do this all the time. Hate this.
This next take from the layman's terms.
Okay.
Oh, I now understand now. So this is a bit is about to play out here on the show that everyone's going to understand next week, but a bit is about to play out here. This take from the layman's terms. Tony is completely allowed to go off on whoever he wants, but he also is due any consequences from the team from those actions. So just as a little bit of a heads up to take you through the time warp, next Monday or Tuesday show?
Monday.
Next Monday show. So Monday show. We recorded before this show because I'm going away after you hear this show. And we didn't do takes on takes yet.
No, we want the takes to be as fresh as possible.
And so Jamie,
as you can tell from the Quinn and Williams news.
Jamie mentioned a take on Monday show that I hadn't actually heard yet. And so I react to it on Monday show without knowing the take. And so you're going to go into a little bit of a time paradox, but you'll understand when you hear Monday show. I agree with this take. This is a fair take.
Yeah, this is a good take. And I have listened to the audio responses back from Kadarius Toney and I've seen all this. So here are my thoughts on this. One, if you're a fan out there that DMs players.
Go away.
Talk shit about
them. Go away.
But Chris, I'm going to leave this
go
in
ahead.
So you can put the E. You're a fucking loser. Like, you're just a loser.
Tell him, Jamie.
So please don't do that. Like, just don't. Two, Kadarius Toney probably shouldn't respond in that way. You've got the high ground in here. You should probably not. But it's easy for me to say because I don't want people talking shit in my DMs that are just losers. So I get it. I think he should absolutely have the right to respond to people, understanding that, you know, if he responds in a certain way, there might be discipline. But I think to me, the most part is this is not about Kadarius Toney. This is about these losers that want to talk shit in players' DMs. It's like whether it's for this, whether it's for fantasy, product, whatever, just don't do it. Just stop. Like it's embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself.
Plus one. I give you a plus one for that comment. Nothing more that I can say to that, but yes, agree 100%. Take from Alex. Of the three NFL running backs of the 2014 Georgia Bulldogs running back room, while Gurley's prime before his knee fell off was insane, Nick Chubb is the best running back from that roster. Agreed. Nick Chubb is completely underrated in the National Football League.
Yeah. We broke him down earlier this week on the show about what he's been able to do. And literally since he got into the NFL and his success, he has taken over a foreign country now. That's a whole different thing.
I need the E-tag for that. I have to put the E-tag on the show just for that.
Yes, Nick Chubb has taken over.
Nick Chubb is invading countries? What is happening?
Yes. Yeah, small countries. Small island countries off the coast of South America.
What's Matt Belarus up to?
I will say this. Obviously, not only has he been good in totality, he has been good efficient-wise. Per touch basis has been crazy. It is crazy thinking about that because Todd Gurley got off to such a ridiculously strong start to the year. And obviously he was the highest drafted of that bunch. It was him, Chubb, and Sony Michel. Was Chubb the only non-first rounder? Was Chubb a first round? Chubb wasn't a first round pick, was he? Wasn't he a second round pick?
Sony Michel was a first rounder for sure. Was drafted.
I know Michel was like in the late part. Obviously Gurley went.
Nick 10. Chubb was drafted. Stand by. Stand by. Second round pick 35.
Yeah. So he was the lowest drafted of the three as well.
Nick Chubb's
awesome.
Where did
Gurley go? Was Gurley 10th? Or am I dreaming? Because I know Gurley and Gordon go in the same draft in the first round. Dude, I just can't remember what. It's like Todd 10 Gurley, and 15?
10th overall, yep.
Okay, so it was 10th to the Rams. Rare Rams first round pick. Yeah, I agree with this take.
I mean,
because the longevity is going to start to matter. And it, I mean, the end of Todd Gurley sucks, but we kind of, I mean, we had known it was coming for a while, but the peak was crazy. But Nick Chubb is doing things that other backs aren't doing, especially at his volume.
This take from Braden. People will often list the 85 Bears as the best defense of all time. Though, I'd only put them at 3 behind the 2002 Bucks at 2 and the 2000 Ravens at 1.
So, I obviously wasn't alive for the 1985 Bears.
I was also
Bears.
8 for the 2002 Bucks and 6 for the 2000 Ravens.
Like, I will say this. The 2000 Ravens was the best defense I've ever seen in my life.
Right, but like, I don't know. I was 6, dude. Like, I don't feel equipped enough to answer this question.
So in my head, if you would have asked me before this question, I would have had the 02 Bucks third of this group. And then I would have had probably Ravens and then 1 and 85 Bears 2. It's tough to compare different eras, different times, but the 2000 Ravens are the best defense I've ever seen.
Again,
like, wasn't there some weird stat of like if their offense never scored, they still would have had a winning record?
That can't possibly be a thing.
Let me find this.
That can't possibly be true. If that's true, then they're the greatest defense of all time. That can't possibly be an accurate statement. You just made that up.
All right, I'm gonna look this up. I feel like I didn't make this.
You're
up.
Telling me that there was a statistic in which if the Ravens offense did not score points, they still would have won games because of how good their defense was, because they would just kick field goals. If that's accurate,
well, keep in mind they went on like this long run. Like they didn't score an offensive touchdown from week 5 to week 9, and they still won some of these games. I'm trying to see what it would have been.
This would be absurd.
It's a very specific stat.
Yeah, you're going down the rabbit hole of the internet.
Yeah,
this could give you could go anywhere here.
So,
how's it going? Is it going well? How's the search going?
Well, I'm getting all of these stats.
And none of them are the stat you're looking for. I'm familiar with this.
I'm just trying to find a very specific one.
Yeah, it's tough. I've been down this road before where you're looking for something very, very specific, and if you don't use the correct verbiage, it's over. You're never going to find it. It's like me trying to figure out, like, what was that stat I was looking up about red zone efficiency that a couple weeks ago? I could never find it. Never happened.
I'll do some more research while we're talking.
Love
here.
Love that.
Because they allowed no points.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'll give us our next take.
Yeah, keep going.
Take from Taylor B. Take, out of every commonly used fruit flavoring, berry-flavored anything is the worst. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. Out of every commonly used fruit flavoring, berry-flavored anything is the worst.
I don't know about that.
Layman's terms, I think, has the correct follow-up answer. Because I agree with it. The variance in anything cherry flavored is absolutely wild. And I think that's the
problem.
That
is true.
Like the cherry Robitussin medicine, trash, awful, brutal, doesn't taste like cherry at all. But like cherry cola, it's great. It's a great flavor. You know, cherry, most cherry candies are pretty good, but it's a wide range. So I don't know if I can get on board with this being this berry-flavored nonsense. Because are you including blueberries, strawberries, blackberries? Are you including all of the berries? Because I don't think I can agree with that. It's too wide-ranging for me.
Yeah.
You're still looking up this information, aren't you?
I am.
Feverishly trying to find this information.
So right now...
Okay, what do you got for us?
I'm looking. Yep. So right now, I'm through the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season. and they, if their offense never scored a touchdown, they would be 3-2 so far.
I can tell you that the 2000 Ravens allowed just 165 points in the regular season. So how many points did they score as a team?
Actually, not a lot.
That's why that's
I have to go look it up, but they were not good.
I think we can just agree that the 2000 Ravens offense is awesome, or defense is awesome.
So right now I'm at 1-1, 1-2, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4, 4-5.
You know, we could just sit here and let you do this.
We're going to sit here and do this because I got to know. I got to know now. So 4-5. So if their offense never scored a touchdown.
You're through 9 games. You've only got 7 more to go.
4-6.
Okay.
That would have been close. I'm going to say 4-7. Okay. 5-7.
Okay.
I think this is going to be 6-7. Let me double check. Six and seven.
Six and seven. Lovely.
Okay.
You've only got 3 more games left.
The last one wouldn't count. So 6-8. So now we're going to see what's going to happen here. So 6-8.
2 games to go. They could be 5. I mean, the fact that this is even close is ridiculous.
6-8-1.
Excuse me? Oh, it would have been a tie. Okay. I was like 8-1. Okay.
6-8-1. And. Yeah, 6-9-1.
Okay. That's closer than it probably has any.
If the offense scored 0 touchdowns throughout the year, they would have taken every touchdown away from every offensive touchdown away. They would have been 6-9-1.
That's ridiculous. It's absurd.
It's pretty crazy.
We've got a double dose of takes here from, excuse me. We have 3 takes from Bailey.
Triple dose.
Which door would you like to go through first? 1-3.
Oh, we're doing this game 1.
Take, the Packers have the biggest variance in outcomes this season. Love could be bad and defense underperforming again, leading to 5 wins. Or Love could be good after his time sitting and Joe Barry could finally deliver, leading to 11 wins. Neither would surprise me.
So I assume it's the biggest level of outcome among all teams is what I assume.
Biggest variance in outcomes this year, yeah.
No, I'm going to sell that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sell it too. I think the Cleveland Browns are a team that has one of the bigger variances. Entering the 2023
I think the
season.
Browns have a significant variance.
I think the Jets have significant variance.
Yeah, I think that they could as well. The Broncos.
I think the Broncos have significant variance.
Giants, maybe even.
The Giants probably have significant variance.
I would not
variance.
Be shocked.
I think,
if that's
I think
a team.
Atlanta and Carolina could have significant variance.
Yeah. So while I do agree, Green Bay
is
Seattle. So Green Bay is among that group, but I don't necessarily feel comfortable saying they're the most.
Door three. The top 5 players in next year's draft are all on offense. The top 2 QBs, Marvin Harrison, Fashanu, and Alt.
That's probably the case right now.
Jared Verse might want to have a word by the time the season's over. He might.
Jared Verse is one that is really interesting to me. Why am I blanking on the
Alabama kid? Because I'm also blanking on his name.
No, because. I don't think McKinstry is up there for me. But I think Braylon Trice is another interesting one in Washington. I don't think McKinstry's gonna get there. Who's the Ohio State kid? JT Tumiolalu
sure.
or something.
I forgot.
I'm blanking on his name. I need
fantastic.
To see it to pronounce it. But he could be in that conversation. But yes, as of right now, the 2 offensive tackles, Marvin Harrison Jr. and the 2 top quarterbacks seem to be the clear option at the top of the draft. And obviously you have
Dallas Turner was who I was referencing, not Cooley
Dallas,
McKinstry.
Oh,
Dallas
yes,
Turner
yes,
was
Dallas
the name
Turner
I couldn't figure
is
out.
Is in that
yes.
conversation. I'm sorry. I automatically thought of Cooley McKinstry.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But no, I was looking at Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jared Verse.
Right now I agree. It's an offense heavy draft at the top.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I think there are some players who could make some noise. Like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. could make some noise. He's
yes,
a linebacker, so that's tough.
But that's the problem.
Right, the positional value.
You're not taking a linebacker that
I'm just saying, these are the top defensive players that I think we have going into this season. Which means we have to go to door number 2 here. Take 5 QBs. We'll hit the 3,000 passing yards and 750 rushing yards mark this season. There has never been more than 2 in a season. Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen will repeat. Lamar will get back to that level under a more pass-happy offense. Two of Anthony Richardson, Justin Fields, and Daniel Jones will join them.
Okay, I'm selling that.
I'm probably selling it, but I want to just check on one thing.
So I have 750 is a line. I only have two quarterbacks projected to get that many rushing yards.
Is it Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen?
It is Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields.
Yeah, Daniel Jones had a career high last year at 708. So I'm going to sell that Daniel Jones is going to get there.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. I don't have Justin Fields getting 3,000 passing yards. So that would
That's going to eliminate
that.
Him.
I have Lamar at 741 with a couple missed games. So I'm fine with you pushing him there. I think Josh Allen's got a shot at him at 707. But
I'm going to take the under 5.
Yeah, I only have four quarterbacks getting above 600 rushing yards this year. So I'm going to sell that.
Three more takes for us here on the show. Take number one, it's a food take from Braden. Chicken tacos are the best form of taco. Sell. Hard sell.
No. I'm a huge chicken fan.
Yeah, chicken's great, but carne asada tacos are unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean any steak-based taco.
Any steak-based taco is a better than a chicken.
I will say a good shrimp taco, but you got to be careful.
You know what? You can have all the shrimp tacos you'd like, Jimmy. You can have mine. That's how you can have my shrimp tacos.
Are you gonna send them to me? I can't have your Built Bars because you won't send them.
That's true. I won't send those to you either.
Almost 2 years of owing me. Yep. But yes, steak is the best. Any sort of, whether it's carne asada, whether it's just straight up steak, whether it's the people get really creative now. But I just also think it's the most trustworthy. I would say this: chicken is the most trustworthy on the cheap side.
See, I disagree.
Really?
I think steak is the most trustworthy.
From location to location?
Yes.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
I think steak's a universal thing. Chicken's tough. You can have dry chicken. You can have undercooked chicken. Like, it's wild. Chicken's tough.
I've had some bad steak tacos in my day. Some very dry steak tacos. Because if you get the wrong type of skirt steak, or somebody tells you you're going to get something better and it's skirt steak.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
But it's fair. But yeah, no. Chicken, there's, again, nothing wrong with a good chicken taco. Nothing wrong with almost any good taco, to be honest with you. But no, steak has got to be the go-to here.
This take from Anthony. After no touchdowns last season, Deontay Johnson will be top 10 in receiving touchdowns. I'm going to take the field on this. This is an overreaction to Deontay Johnson having zero touchdowns last year.
Chris, can you look up what was 10th last year?
Yeah, I can do that. I mean, you're going to need
what number?
You need to filibuster.
I am off the top of my head. I'm going to guess 8. That's what I'm going to guess. That's the number that it's going to be when you look this up. By the way, I'm selling almost no matter what number you come back with. I'm going to sell.
You're going to sell. I would agree. I mean, I don't,
because I have them down for like 4.62 touchdowns.
Receiving touchdowns.
So my guess is 8 is what the number is that you're going to come up with.
10th.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's probably tied for 10th, but...
So it was technically tied for... So I'm just going to read them because it's going to make more sense if I do that. Adams was first with 14. Kelsey was second with 12. Diggs, Brown, and Kittle were tied for third with 11.
Okay.
And so that would mean sixth would be CeeDee Lamb with 9. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Lockett, Amari Cooper, and Jerick McKinnon all had 9. And then Justin Jefferson had 8. So 9 touchdowns got you inside the top 10. I'm going to sell Deontay Johnson getting 9 touchdowns.
I'm going to sell him getting 8. Not happening.
I'm going to sell him getting 7.
I'm going to sell him getting 6.
Okay, I mean, we can do this all day. Last take here for you.
Well, we're going to run out of numbers soon.
That's fair. This last take from Cryptic Slow. Take, we need to stop comparing young players and prospects to Hall of Famers. It does a huge disservice to the player. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, unrealistic comps are... I think people don't understand... Or I say people. I'm usually not the people listening to the show, but like the average fan that is using this doesn't understand the level of play that's required to get to a Hall of Fame level. Like, it is a ridiculously small percentage of players, and even a very small percentage of great players that get there. We have to realize that there are players that are very, very good and that can be very, very good without being Hall of Famers, perennial Pro Bowlers, all pros, whatnot. And I think it becomes easy for us to try to compare players to them because it's what makes it exciting. And it feels like, oh, look at what their potential could be. But like, there isn't a Lawrence Taylor in the league right now.
Right.
Period. There isn't.
Right.
and there's not going to be anytime soon. And that's okay. These are the truly generational players, the once every 20, 30 year type players that come into the league. And if you have one or two of them in the league at the moment, consider yourself very, very lucky.
That is it for us here on this edition of the show. All of the takes have been read. Appreciate all of you who submitted takes for today's show. We've got fun shows for you next week. We're getting back into the weeds on the wide receiver props all week long, so you've got that to look forward to as well. In the meantime, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, share the show. We greatly do appreciate it. You've got the YouTube side of things. You can see the video version of the show. Just search up the Draft Network on YouTube. Give the video a thumbs up, comment, subscribe, turn on the notification bell. You guys know the drill. By now, we greatly do appreciate you guys making this show a part of your day. Hope you all have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to y'all on Monday.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LaFoot!
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries? Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.